Welcome to the Launch Grow Joy Show, where entrepreneurs learn how to launch a business and grow it with joy. And now, here's your host, Andrea Ayers.
Hey everyone, this is Andrea Ayers here from LaunchGrowJoy.com, and I am so excited you're here today listening to this podcast. Something very exciting happened a couple of days ago. So as some of you might know, if you've been on my mailing list or reading my website at LaunchGrowJoy.com, a few days ago, or actually about a week ago, I launched a contest. And in the contest, I am giving away 10 free of my favorite business books plus access to any one of my online courses. And the response so far has been phenomenal. So many of you have entered the contest, and the way you can enter, and I still invite all of you to enter if you haven't yet, the contest closes on May 24th. All you have to do is go to launchgrowjoy.com/contest, and you'll see all of the entry rules there, and you can still win some books, some of my favorite business books, and you can still win access to one of my online courses. And all you have to do is subscribe to the Launch Grow Joy podcast on iTunes and leave a review and a comment. And basically, anyone who has done that, if you haven't already, please make sure to do that as soon as you can. And if you've done it, you are definitely entered in the contest. So thank you so much to everyone who has entered. And what has happened as a result of you subscribing and leaving comments and ratings is that iTunes has chosen the Launch Grow Joy Show to be one of the top five podcasts in the new and noteworthy section. And this is a huge deal, actually, because the more iTunes promotes the show by showing it in the new and noteworthy section or in some of the other of their sections, the more listeners we have to the podcast. And as you probably know, my goal is to reach at least 10,000 listeners with each show. And with your help, I'm closer to that every single week. So if you've entered the contest, thank you. If you haven't yet, make sure to go to launchgrowjoy.com/contest. So again, thank you so much to everyone who's entered. And I want to move on to today's podcast because this is a very special podcast for me. It's actually one of you who listens to my podcast and who has been a longtime subscriber to Launch Grow Joy. So Jasmine Myers, she is the designer behind the inspirational and beautiful jewelry at Bama and Rye, and that's BAMARY.com. And she reached out to me a few weeks ago and pitched herself basically and asked for me to profile her on the show. And I was so touched by her email and her story, which is so inspiring, that I wanted to share her story with all of you listening today. So in today's podcast, Jasmine and I talk about how she went from selling only on Etsy to opening up her own online store and to hiring a production assistant. And she also has her husband, Ryan, who works with her part-time on the business as well. And we also talk about honest and authentic marketing and what that means. And I think for me, I know with all of my businesses, the more authentic I am and the more honest I am in my marketing, where I don't try to sound like a huge corporation. It's basically just me, a few assistants, and my small team putting content out for you. And that has actually worked really well in terms of helping me to connect with all of you and to not only share my story, but to hope that my story inspires you as well. And this is why I'm so excited to have Jasmine on the show today, because she has taken an approach that really has worked for her jewelry business. And you'll hear us talk about how she decided to expand her line and some of the failures she had in her early businesses that she had before Bama and Rye. So I hope you enjoy the show. If you have any questions for Jasmine, make sure to post them at launchgrowjoy.com/008. So enjoy the show and I'll see you at the end. Hey Jasmine, how are you?
Hi Andrea, thank you for having me.
Oh, sure. It's a pleasure to have you. And before we get started and we go into your story, I actually wanted to share with everyone who's listening, because you reached out to me a few weeks ago, or maybe a little over a month ago, and you basically said that you wanted to be on the podcast because you have a really great story that you wanted to share. And I have to say, I loved your pitch, and I wish all of the pitches that I got were that thoughtful and that clear cut in terms of what you were asking for. And I know in at Launch Grow Joy and with some of my programs, part of what I do often is teach people how to pitch themselves to the media. So I have to say, big congrats on your pitch. It definitely got my attention, and I think you did a really great job with it, and it definitely piqued my interest to have you on the podcast and talk to you today.
Wow, that's a great compliment. Thank you so much. And I actually followed your directions. That's the big secret here. Your directions on how to get on your podcast was pretty helpful, and I just tried to answer your question like exactly. So
That's awesome. It definitely works. So, so
follow the
everyone,
directions.
yeah, no, great. So yeah, no, you had a really great story, and I personally am really interested in inspirational products and just inspiration in general. And I think that's another reason why your story caught my attention. But I would love for you to share your story about how you got started as an entrepreneur and tell us a little bit more about your business.
Okay, so how I got started as an entrepreneur takes us back a little further than when I actually launched this business. It really takes us back to, I guess, 2002 when I first launched my very first business. Although, if you count, the lemonade stand variety, I've been in business most of my life, doing things here and there. So in 2002, I started to get into making jewelry. I started making beaded jewelry, and I'm self-taught, so that's how a lot of people do get into jewelry. And jewelry is an expensive hobby, so a lot of us end up going into business without ever intending to. And basically, I was 20 years old, and I had no idea what I was doing, but I had that entrepreneurial spirit. So it kind of moves you even before you really know that you have it. And so I launched a store, like not a store, but an actual online store, which back then I really didn't know anything about in 2002. So and I also did the wholesale side of things. And again, at 20 years old, it's hard for me to believe that I managed to do that. And I had, I think it was 16 stores.
Wow.
And I had that business for 4 years, and I never was really ever able to make it profitable, but I learned a ton about being in business and about the jewelry business. And I learned a lot of lessons that I didn't even know what to do with for a long time. So I got a lot out of that, even if it didn't necessarily make a whole lot of money. But then it was my first business. And so over the years, I worked in marketing and communications, in and out with other businesses and organizations. And so over that time, really over like that decade of my life, I was really just amassing skills. I was learning a lot about business and about how to run a business and about myself and about what I wanted to do in my life. So fast forward to 2012, I was working for a jewelry designer, and I was surrounded by really creative, inspiring people. And so I started to get back into jewelry again, 10 years later, older, wiser, hopefully, and whatnot. So I basically got into it as a hobby, and I was just sort of making things here and there. It wasn't necessarily going to be a business because, like I said, I was working for a jewelry designer. I had a full-time job at that time. at that time, also in my personal life, I had my husband and I had been trying to have a child for many, many years. And we got pregnant, and it was a sort of a miracle. And it was a really exciting thing. But then we lost that pregnancy, and it was devastating. It was devastating for both of us. And miscarriage is challenging, of course, for anyone. But when you couple that with infertility and that feeling of not knowing if you'll ever get pregnant again, and not knowing, you know, if this was the only time. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of emotional stuff and a lot of baggage there. And so my hobby of just sort of playing around with jewelry was really a great relief for me. It was a way to kind of keep my hands busy and kind of focus on something that wasn't painful. And so basically that was in February of 2012. And by July of 2012, I had so many designs. I was like, well, I'll just launch a little Etsy shop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was very casual. It was not a lot of thought put into it, which is different from how I've always done things before. But there was a lot of intensity in my actual work. And I think that really shined through. So when I did launch my Etsy shop, it just blew up. People loved it, and they really connected with it. And suddenly I had a business again,
mm-hmm.
and which I've heard entrepreneurs say that happens. You, it's just in you to create a business. And
yeah.
So, and that's what happened to me. I needed inspiration in my life. So I was creating inspiring jewelry. And I don't know if you know the quote by, I think it's Simon Sinek, where he says, people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it.
Yes, definitely. I'm a huge believer in that.
Yeah. So I had my why, and not even, I didn't put all that extra thought into it that we as business owners usually do. We overthink everything. But in that place of grief, I needed inspiration. So I created it. And that was easily translatable to other people. And I think that's why, in hindsight, I think that's why it sort of blew up the way it did.
Yeah, that is, wow, that's such an inspiring story. And thank you so much for sharing that. And I do have a couple of questions, and I actually can totally relate to your story, because I started my business too as a way to inspire myself when I was pregnant with my first child. And it's interesting, because my husband and I at that time, we decided to have a home birth, and everyone who we told it to, including friends and family, almost everyone had really negative things to say about it. So we sort of were questioning our decisions, and we're like, you know, are we doing the right thing? And it just really felt like everywhere we were turning, people were saying, no, that's not a good idea. And that, or, you know, or that's really dangerous, or it's not a good decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I started my first company, Tees for Change, as a way to just stay positive, inspire myself. And it was actually in a yoga class, a prenatal yoga class, where I got really inspired. And
mm-hmm.
I decided to go into the inspirational t-shirt business. So I totally can relate to that. And I agree too. I think if you believe, and if you know your why, then other people are going to believe it as well. And that's going to create fans and customers and a really successful business. So it definitely sounds like you had that from the beginning, even though technically you didn't intend to launch a full-fledged business.
Right. Yeah, it was. I always say that life handed me lemons.
Mm-hmm.
So I opened up a lemonade stand.
Right. Exactly. What else would you do, right? I mean, it seems like the logical thing to do, especially if you already were an entrepreneur before that, and you had a little bit of experience. And I'm sure that what you learned in your first business, getting your jewelry into 16 stores and setting up your online shop, definitely helped to pave the way for your current business.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that by the numbers, that first business was technically failure, But failure is incredibly useful. I mean, it's the most useful thing, really, because you won't know what to avoid if you haven't tried.
Exactly. I so agree with you on that. And I think, yeah, I mean, I've experienced that so many times with every business that I've had. And it's funny too, because people often say, oh, Andrea, you know, you're so positive and you make things look so easy. But there is so much that goes behind it. And with all of those positive things, there's almost always something else that might have not been so easy that took you to that positive place. So
absolutely. Yeah.
And it's just, you know, I personally choose to focus more on the successes and the positives. And, you know, sometimes I do focus on when things are not working, like when I had to shut down my soap business and so on. But I do like to stay positive most of the time. So now I have another question for you in regards to your Etsy shop. I know that right now you have your own store. And at what point did you make the transition from selling on Etsy to having your own store as well? And do you still have an Etsy shop right now?
I do still have an Etsy shop. It gets its own traffic, which is the wonderful thing about Etsy. You're not necessarily having to bring every customer to your doorstep. But I have found that for my Etsy shop, a lot of people are shopping on Etsy for things that are custom. And I love to do that. I love to work with people who want to create something for, you know, their mother, or they want to create something that has their children's names. And that's really, really fun. But I also really like the design aspect of what I do, where I'm coming up with the inspirational phrases. And that's really where my heart is. So I've transitioned in the last year, from solely using Etsy as my online home base to using Etsy more as a custom shop, and basically creating BamaRai.com as my brand, and being able to kind of basically expand on the original ideas that I had. I feel like I have a lot more, I do have a lot more say in how it looks, and I can kind of, you know, tweak every aspect of it to really match the brand that I'm trying to build. Whereas Etsy, you know, you have some control, but I mean, in fact, I think the end of last week, they made a change on Etsy where all of our banners went away.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And so, you know, I mean, and you don't get to choose that. And it's fine, you know, because I've benefited tremendously from being on Etsy, but it's nice as a small business owner, you want to have, you know, you want to have that control over how your brand is perceived.
Right.
And without a banner, now all of our shops look exactly the same, which is, I'm not entirely sure what the logic behind that is on Etsy, but I certainly can't say anything negative about my experience there. But having your own .com just really gives you the control that you need to be able to grow your brand. Etsy was really great for helping me get established.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I do think that there is a place for having a shop on Etsy too. And you're right, you know, nothing up against Etsy, because I've sold on there. I know tons of people who make a living selling just off of Etsy. But I do agree, I think when you're ready to take it to that next step, and when you're really ready to have your branding in place, I think moving to your own URL with your own design and color scheme and branding is really the logical next step.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Great. So next thing I wanted to talk about, I know you talked in your email that you sent me when you were introducing yourself to me and why you should be on the podcast. You talked about marketing honestly. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I love that idea, and I think that's a key to success. But I'd love to know what your take on that is, and what have you learned from that, and how has it helped you to grow your business?
Wow, that's a great question. I've learned a ton. basically, before this business, I worked both in marketing myself and in marketing others. And there's a lot of stuff out there that sort of teaches us not to be authentic. And even the idea of branding, especially within like a more corporate situation, you know, you're always thinking about how to change the way your business looks so that it'll get more customers. And so when I launched this, because I wasn't necessarily approaching it as a business so much, I was just really authentic. And I was really, really honest with, you know, what had happened in my life that had brought me to creating these pieces that are inspiring or bittersweet. And, you know, people would, at that time, it was just my Etsy shop, and people would read my about and learn about my miscarriage and learn about our difficulties with fertility. And they would say, after they purchased a piece in the little notes, they would say, I love knowing that this piece that says, I have a couple pieces that say, like, for example, in repair, or I have another piece that says, someone I love was never born, which is a really popular miscarriage piece. Mm-hmm. And they would understand that I wasn't just this nameless, faceless business kind of thing.
Right.
Like, I was a person who had experienced a lot of things that they themselves were going through, or they knew someone that was going through it. And it, you make that immediate connection. Laura Roeder of Creating Fame uses this phrase that I love. It's know, like, trust.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's really hard to create know, like, trust when you're just a business.
Right.
But when you're a person, and they know a piece of your story, you know, you create relationships. You don't, it's not a customer business. It's, you know, I'm a woman that's, trying to make something of my creative dreams, and, you know, life handed me this really difficult thing, and I'm trying to be positive.
Yeah.
And people really relate to that. So that's what marketing honestly means to me. And the way it has translated, to sales and loyal customers is, being positive in today's world, where it's so easy to be so cynical, is sort of audacious. It's bold.
Mm-hmm.
When people see you experience something really sort of tragic or difficult, and then they see you sort of be that phoenix that rises out of that,
yeah,
and says, I am not going to let this define me. I'm not going to stay down. You know, I'm going to take this and make it worth it. Make all that pain and personal growth that I had to go through, I'm going to make something of that. And, you know, that's what people identify with. And that's what marketing, honestly, I think really is just being truthful about your why.
Yeah, I love that. And I wanted to ask you something related to that, because I know when I first started my business online in 2007, it really felt so strange, and I'm more of like a quiet, introverted person. So when I had to put my photo on my website, that was a huge step for me, and especially when I had to share my story. But I knew that I needed to get that out there, and I knew that that's what helped me shape my business. Did you at times feel strange about putting your story out there? And if so, how did you get over it, or did it seem completely natural for you to do it? And I'm asking that because I know every once in a while I'll get emails from entrepreneurs who are basically nervous about putting themselves out there. So how did you feel, and what advice would you have?
Well, yes. I mean, the short answer is yes. It's really uncomfortable to put yourself out there. I too am an introvert. I'm very suited to working from home because of that. But I had a leg up on this because I had been blogging since 2008. And previously I had a very popular blog. and it was a healthy living blog, and it was dedicated to positivity and health and whatnot. So I had spent from, that was 2008 to 2011. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty well known, at least within those circles. So I had had to kind of get over that feeling of wanting to hide and wanting to, you know, not put yourself out there, whether it's pictures or even just your truth. But when it came to this, it was still very difficult. It was very difficult to be so truthful about something so vulnerable, and also to be so truthful about a topic that people don't like to talk about. You don't hear a lot of people out there talking about their miscarriage. Women Right. tend to feel shamed. They feel shamed into silence about that. So it was really hard for me to talk about it. But when I did, even just a little bit in the beginning, people really responded because they were so grateful that somebody was saying, I had a miscarriage and it devastated me. Mm-hmm. People felt just so relieved that someone was saying that, and it made them feel like they could say it too. So I think when you get feedback like that, and honestly, I think you always will, when you're really truthful with yourself and you put that out there, you often will get feedback that reminds you that people are always looking for someone to tell the truth, because then they feel free to do it too.
Yes, it's so true. And, you know, I personally had two miscarriages. And I remember when I was looking, you know, trying to figure out how to deal with it, the first place I went to was online, you know, looking for other women who had experienced it. And it wasn't going to my friends because they had never really, you know, how would they know what to say to me? So I do agree there's that sort of intimate connection that you have when you are looking for something that's so specific, and you're looking for advice and help and basically a shoulder to lean on. And I think, I think especially if you turn that into a business and as a reason why you are inspired to start your business, I can definitely see how so many women can relate to that and feel that connection with you, which oftentimes you don't feel that connection when you're buying from a big company with, you know, hundreds of employees or offices around the world. And I think too, I'm just, you know, it's so inspiring because I really do think this is the new way to do business. And it's a place where you come with honesty and integrity and you share and you put yourself out there. And those customers or visitors or people who come to your site and connect with that, that connection is so much stronger. And in a lot of ways, they're so much more loyal to you than if they were shopping from a big business who they didn't know anything about except what the product was.
Absolutely. And what you get as a result is people are willing to promote you without you even asking. And I mean, that's sort of the dream, right?
Exactly. Of course, it's the ultimate dream, right? Yeah. Word of mouth and free advertising. So now I wanted to talk a little bit about your actual business. So I know you started out with inspirational jewelry, but you recently expanded to tank tops and other products. What made you decide to expand your product line? Was it requests from customers or more driven by you and your own interests?
I think it was driven by me, although at the same time, I think my customers were ready for something else, something in addition, because I do have a lot of loyal customers. So they may have, you know, the one or two or maybe even three Bama and Rye pieces that really represent where they are in their journey right now, but they're ready to maybe wear it on a tank top. A lot of my customers work out a lot, so the tank tops really work for that. And then I've also recently added art prints, and that really speaks to my personal tastes. I have framed inspirational quotes all over my house.
Sounds like my house.
So I'm very inspired by words. You know, not everyone is, but those of us that are, those things, they can change your day. And you know, so it really spoke to just what I need. And that's what I've allowed this business to be driven by. I know that I'm not the only person looking for these little tidbits of inspiration. I'm not the only person that's, you know, looking for something to remind me of what I'm doing, something to remind me of why it's important to be positive. And you know, art prints are just a really fun way for me to kind of extend that inspiration piece that I'm already working within.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it totally sounds just like my house because I have inspirational stuff all over. And I love it. So now, before we wrap up, I want to ask you one last question. It really seems like your business has grown organically. And, you know, you moved from your Etsy shop to your own URL. You even have your husband, Ryan, on board. And you recently hired a production assistant. And what I want to ask is, I know a lot of entrepreneurs are not quite sure when they're ready to hire someone to help them with their business. So how did you know when it was time to hire your production assistant, and how did you find him or her?
So it's a really hard question to answer, because the truth is you have to start before you're ready. So you won't know when you're ready, because you won't be. I mean, the truth, I mean, that you can answer that. That question is also similar to, how do you know when to leave your full-time job to pursue your business full-time, right? They're very similar. And the answer for both is, start before you're ready. I think for me, my husband has a full-time job in addition, and so he is limited in how much he can help. And it really came down to me looking at what my strengths are, and realizing that a lot of my time, my work hours, were being spent on things that were not my strengths, and that weren't growth areas of my business. So really, when you have to kind of be honest with yourself and say, well, what am I either not good at, or what should I not be spending so much time on? And you know, hire talent. So when I went to look for a production assistant, I thought that I was just looking for someone who could do jewelry finishing and like package and shipping. But when I looked at the, I just used an ad on Craigslist. And when I looked at my talent pool, I realized that my most talented person in the pool was someone who can also make jewelry. And jewelry is a very time intensive thing. So it was really an easy choice for me to bring on someone who could also grow with the position and take over some of that. Because I have to, as an entrepreneur, you don't work for your business, you work on your business. And so you have to really focus on the business growth. Right. So that it basically was a thing where you break it down to what is your biggest time constraint, and how can you address that? You're basically paying for your time.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's such a great way of saying it. And how has that been working out for you so far with your production assistant?
Amazing.
Do you feel so much better now?
Yes. Oh, yes. It's wonderful. I mean, the fact that we have tank tops and art prints, that would not have happened if we didn't have some help. She's been with me now for a month, and I've just, so much has happened in that month. I've been able to get, you know, some contacts with new catalogs, and you know, just, you can see the growth almost right away, which is really helpful for reaffirming that you're doing the right thing. And it, you know, it's just, I have more time, and I'm not working so much, and you got so many hours, so it's great.
Yeah, no, that's so great to hear. And you know, unlike you, I waited a little too late, and I didn't hire before I was ready. But I totally agree. Once I hired, it was an assistant to help me with some blogging and social media and wholesale and PR, and it was such a huge change in my business. And I could never go back to just working by myself, on my own, and spending all of my time just sending out emails or really doing like the nitty-gritty of what the daily tasks of an entrepreneur are. So, for
And you're
everyone, yeah,
happier.
totally happier. And then I think because of that, your the way you present yourself and your business, it shows, and people are more attracted to that. So it, in an indirect way, your sales are impacted as well, but also in a direct way, of course, too. Yeah, so for everyone who's listening, if you are nervous to hire your first assistant or someone who you want to help you in your business, I think if you're feeling nervous about it, that's probably a good sign to know that you're probably ready for it. So,
Yes, do
yeah.
it.
So whether you use Craigslist, I've personally used Elance and Odesk, and have found all of my assistants, virtual assistants, and so on through those two through websites. So, definitely would recommend that. So, Jasmine, this was so great, and I think your story is so inspiring, and I'm so glad we got to spend the last half an hour together and you shared your story with our audience. For anyone who is interested in finding out more about your jewelry and about your story, where what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
The best place is bamarai.com. You can get a link to my blog. There's a link to my Etsy shop. And you can kind of browse around to see the tank tops, art prints, and also my jewelry line. So everything's right there.
Great. So I'll make sure to put a link to that in the show notes as well. So is there anything else you want to share before we sign off?
Not really. I just wanted to thank you for letting me share my story, and I've learned a lot from Launch Grow Joy myself. And for those out there listening, the final thing I would say is trust yourself. If you have an idea that you can't get it out of your mind, it's probably there for a reason.
Totally agree with you. So, with that thought, Jasmine, we're going to sign off. And I want to again thank you so much for being here with us today, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, you too.
Bye.
Bye.
So there you have it, everyone. I hope you really enjoyed this interview with Jasmine. I know I have, and I wish I had more time to ask her even more questions about her business and her success with marketing her business, honestly. So if you have any questions for Jasmine, or if you want to let her know that you enjoyed her interview and thank her for sharing her story with us, please feel free to go to launchgrowjoy.com/008, and that's where you will find a link to this podcast so you can download it and listen to it. And you'll also find Jasmine's website so you can really see her beautiful, inspirational jewelry and read more about her story. And now, before I sign off, I wanted to mention about the exciting contest that is still going on from now through May 24th at Launch Grow Joy. So all you have to do to enter the contest is go to launchgrowjoy.com/contest and then follow the link there to get to the Launch Grow Joy show on iTunes. And once you're there, hit the subscribe button and then click the review and ratings button and make sure to leave a review. And at the end of each day, I pick a winner to win one of my favorite business books along with access to one of my online courses. So that link again is launchgrowjoy.com/contest. And I hope as many of you as possible enter. And for those who have entered and left comments and reviews and subscribed, thank you so much for subscribing and supporting the Launch Grow Joy show. And I will see you all next week. Take care, everyone. Bye.